That was an interesting piece of special music. All Things New. I think we're thinking about All Things New to take place in Canada here. This isn't in my message, just to run up to what this song was. We're waiting for possibly a change in leadership here. We've got Mr. Carney and Mr. Polyev. They're going to make All Things New. I don't think so. Be a change, maybe. We don't know what will happen. The All Things New that I'm thinking about is what we were seeing here in this special music. It said there in one part of the special music, it was life after the tomb, right? Maybe most of us here will be in the tomb, maybe. Just a guess on my part, maybe not. But life comes after that, and as we know, there's no time when we're in that longhouse, if we could put it that way. So it'll be like that. I thought that was uplifting to hear that. Peace comes after pain, real peace. So we can have peace in Canada after this election? Probably not. So I'll end with that. Brethren, here we are. Here we are, 7 days later, after the wave sheaf. Finishing up here today with the days of unleavened bread. The going down of the sun today, this high day, the seventh day of unleavened bread, will be in the history books. This is the second day today of God's plan of salvation, and it runs the course throughout the whole 7 days. And we've been keeping track of time as we do. We keep track of time two different ways. The most important way, now that we've been called and we've received the call and we've answered the call, we keep the time a little different according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. So we're keeping track of time in that regard when it comes to today. That's really what we're doing here. It's keeping track of time, waiting for the time of Christ. So each spring, just prior to the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, the proper new beginning of the year begins, doesn't it? And this day we're celebrating right here, this high day, it's day 21 on the calendar. Day number 21 of what they used to call Abib, but now they refer to it as Nisan. According to what? The Gregorian calendar? No, a calculated Hebrew calendar. So with these spring holy days, there's a whole lot to consider, especially when we've been putting out the old self all week, working at that, and all the carnality that comes with that. And in replacement, what have we been doing? Putting something else in. Putting in the attributes of Jesus Christ. Actually, I should say, Jesus the Messiah, as Larry pointed out earlier. And what? His perfection. We're called to the point of perfection. This is what we're going to look at this afternoon in this message that I've entitled Our Personal Wilderness Journey. Let's think back to the time again of the Exodus. We've been doing a lot of that for the last 7 days, I suppose. The time of Egypt's Pharaoh and the man of God, Moses. We recall the story. I don't know if you listened to Jamie this morning, but he brought a pretty neat message on the seven problems that the Israelites, or the 10 problems the Israelites put on God during that Exodus time. Very interesting. If you haven't listened to that message, I'd say go listen to it. It's pretty good. My message will be a little different. While we recall that story, Pharaoh, and all the darkness taking place in that environment in which he ruled over, finally did, didn't they? Let the Israelites leave Egypt, only to do something later on, a little bit later, only to come chasing after them soon afterwards. Let them go and then went after them again. Brethren, isn't that true of the world? It seems to work in a similar fashion for us. It tries to lure us back as well. Well, we also need to be like the Israelites. I not really like them, but we need to hold fast our positions. That's kind of what they should have been doing, holding fast their position, to be continually looking to Christ by applying ourselves as much as we possibly can into the state of what we refer to, as we learned this week, into the state of being unleavened. We need to hold our position on that. Think upon these days that we've been experiencing this past week, these days of unleavened bread, in regards to the exercise of this putting off and this putting on process. So, really, to be involved in this, what we really need is a good dose of faith. You take that on a spoon. No. You need a dose of faith. A dose of faith in what? In the Eternal One and in His ways. Always remembering this. He has a plan for this creation. He has a plan for mankind. And all that comes of this plan has been worked out before the beginning of time. It's a perfect plan, by the way. Also recognizing the fact that the Godhead, neither one of them, God the Father and Jesus Christ, they're perfect. And they don't lie. So the question is, why would anyone in their right mind want to deviate off this plan that they've put in place? It's a good question, isn't it? God has called us, He's offering us something so special, sonship. And if you're a female, maybe you might think, oh, what about me? Am I going to be, is it going to be daughtership? Sonship, no. There's no, how can I put it?
Gender.
I was going to say something else, but gender is a good word. There's no gender in this for when we're resurrected. And so He's offered us that in His family. And we know with that, something else we can't relate to comes along with it. And it's eternal life. We can't relate to that. We understand what it is, but we can't relate to it in a real way. We just can't. So called to live a life of what we refer to as a Christ-like life. Remember, I said a few minutes ago that He's perfect, and He lives what? A righteous, perfect life, yes, but a righteous life, a life of righteousness. That's what we've been called to. So we, through this faith in this right here, this word, we believe that this word, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is all that we need to live by. So we would say that it's absolutely true, right? It's got a few little grammatical errors in it, maybe a couple little words that need to be changed, but it's basically true. And that's how we are to live our lives, righteously. He also tells us that because of this, many are the afflictions of you if you are righteous. It comes with the territory. Well, why? Why would that come with the territory? Because there is an adversary out there that brings afflictions to us. He ushers them right in through the front door, if we could put it that way. And we've come to learn this through these afflictions, and we learn to what? I'm trusting in Eddie today. I'm trusting in Reg. It'll be Don tomorrow. No, we learn to trust in God. That's what it all is. We learn to trust in God. We learn to cast our gaze upon Him. We've come to various points in our life's walk where it can get pretty tough. And believing and trusting in them to be our help, to have this faith, that wavers a little bit. Israel wavered many times in the wilderness. We're in the wilderness too, right? Yes. So we have to trust in them to be our help, and we have to have faith in order that they're going to help us. This is really how He helps us to really build this Christ-like character necessary to overcome these afflictions that come along during the course of our life. This is why we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I'm going to quote Psalm 146 and verse 5, considering afflictions, it says here, happy is he, Psalm 46 verse 5, happy is he who has the Lord God of Jacob for his help or her help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Brethren, each and every one of us has this calling from the eternal to ride out these trials of life that come along and confront us and get in the way of our walk. We don't like it, but we have to ride these trials of life out. What is our hope? Well, we should really only have one hope. Hope in the first resurrection, which will bring this eternal life and escape for sure the second death. We don't want any part of that. What is the fulfillment of that hope? Well, that we will be raised without sin and hear those fantastic words that will allow us to enter in. You've heard me quote those words so many times, and you know what they are. Well done, good and faithful servant, right? And you can finish that off. Welcome to the joy of the Lord. We want to hear that. To be changed from flesh to spirit, and God, no question about his promises. Let's never forget this, that God is not going to come up short when it comes to him doing his part. Remember that God called Israel out of Egypt with what? Great wealth. And they come out with a high hand. Well, we as well have received the calling. Maybe we didn't come from that sort of Egypt, but we come to our own particular sort of Egypt. And we've also come out with great wealth as well. Do we catch that? Do we realize that? Because all we have to do, brothers and sisters, is our own personal work. Not God's work. We don't have to do that part. Just our own part. Remember that God called them out with great wealth. He gave them what they needed, but that didn't seem to flow to them. Because how many made it over? Two. Didn't flow good with them. So what about the path that you and I have been walking on? Well, it is a little different than we might have thought as we continue on this path. Did things come along to you? Did things come along for me that, oh, I didn't expect this? Many times we said to ourselves, oh, I didn't think this was going to happen to me. Without a doubt, we can all relate to that. Everybody could tell several stories. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Because old Scratch, he comes after us. We need the armor of God. We need the power of God. We need strong faith, as I just was talking about. We need strong faith to carry us through this wilderness journey. And our protective weapons, as we know, they're all spiritual. Trusting in God. The children of Israel back in Moses' day did not understand that. Maybe one person had the clue. Maybe Moses. I don't think the rest did. Aaron didn't. He made the calf, right? He threw the gold into the fire and it popped out. No, he made it. So, we understand that. So here we are in the world. Here comes Pharaoh. Right? Let's look at Exodus 14. Let's turn to Exodus 14. We're going to read 7 to 10 and then 11. Now, Exodus 14. How many can really see the truth of God, what God the Father and Jesus Christ are doing here? And who can really see what they're doing here on the planet? When we think of it, it is a simple, yet while at the same time, very profound, isn't it, at what they're doing? All revealed through the knowledge and the keeping and having the understanding of God's Sabbath and holy days. Look around. 10 of us here again on this last day of unleavened bread. 73,000. We can add all the
Bowmanville people, not all the Oshawa people and all the Ajax people, several hundred thousand, I would assume, and only 10 people. Might be a couple of people in Oshawa and Toronto, but very few, keeping the annual days of God. On which day, as Larry already said, is an annual holy day. It's amazing to think about it. You're the one who's been given the high calling. And with that came understanding. And having understanding is the one thing, because we realize what we've been given, we have to also apply as well. This is our part. This is not God's part. This is our part. Our part, and we have to apply it. Exodus 14, verses 7 to 10. Here comes Pharaoh physically. And very much of this right here was going on was getting right into the headspace of the Israelites. They could see him coming. There's a lot of them coming. 600 chariots. We're going to read that here in a minute. And this was really bothering them at this point in time. Pharaoh was really getting into the Israelite headspace. Chapter 7, and I quote, "And he," talking about Pharaoh, "took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them." Verse 8, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand." So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea besides Pi Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. End of quote. So Israel, there Israel was, completely helpless. Pharaoh and his war machine was arriving on the scene. In the Israelites' mindset, Pharaoh was really threatening them, and they had nothing at all that could go up against the war horse of Pharaoh out there in the desert. In that position, then, right there and then, the gig looked like it was going to be up for the Israelites. Coming out was quickly in their minds coming to an end. Verse 11, "And they said to Moses, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness because there are no graves in Egypt? Why have you dealt this way with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" Well, in reality, they did have the greatest defense of all on their side. They had God. The Israelites would never have thought that the roadway through the Red Sea would open up for them. That was the last choice. What do you think about that when we are faced with a challenge that seems to loom in front of us? Do we see a way of escape? When this sort of thing comes on the scene like this, and it seems impossible that you can get by it, the focus seems to always go off in some sort of physical direction, doesn't it? No, we're at a standstill as well. The last thing we want to be doing is be running back to our type of Egypt and saying, "Keep me alive! I'll go back to sin and being leavened, I'll be your slave once again." We don't want to be doing that. Brethren, we know the difference, don't we? Our salvation comes from God. Through the sacrifice of the Christ, we're being saved from all of our sins. We have to keep on claiming that with every one of our steps as we walk forward towards the coming kingdom. The resurrection comes next. We know that. And it will take place at the seventh trump. And we are now in the countdown to that very time right now. That's the next thing happening. That is just up ahead. Don't fear. Stand still and wait for that glory. Don't run off and do your own thing because you think that there's something over there you have to do. No. Don't run back to sin. Don't run back to the Egypts of our life. Trust in God. Trust in God. Have that faith. Here is an easy scripture to remember. Moses tells the people, here we are in Exodus 14 still. Let's pick it up in verse 13. And I quote, "And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work out for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see them again." Well, why? Here it is, verse 14. "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall be still." End of quote. God's going to take care of it. God will take care of us as well in our little situations that arise. Sometimes we don't realize it until later on down the road when we look back and we realize how God really did intervene in that situation that we found ourselves stuck in. It happens. We've all seen this happen. We can all relate to that. Now apply this principle to this day that we are keeping, going forward toward the goal of what? Eternal life. The job description for us, as we well know, is to rule the world under Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. Not the new coming prime minister, under God. That's what's taking place. That's what we're waiting for, to make this change for us. The focus is to always be going forward as long as we are in this flesh, as long as we live in this world. Our struggle will always be against sin, against Satan, and against the leaven of society. Never forget, God is with us. There's always going to be friction from the world. That will never end. The bottom line is to remember our personal wilderness journey. And it's a personal journey. We're not all lumped in this journey together. We are in it, but we have a personal wilderness journey. It's in motion right now, and we can't forget it. God used the most impossible, think about this, he used the most impossible direction, and we know that we are not at war with flesh and blood. Look what took place with the Israelites. He used the most impossible directions through the water. They never would have thought that. And it doesn't matter what they do to us. Even though we think it's physical life coming after, it's not. We're not at war with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. That's really where it's coming from. Exodus 13, or pardon me, 14. I'm there still. You're still there in Exodus 14. Let's take a look at 16 here. "And you," 14, 16, "lift up your rod and stretch your hand out over the sea." This was God's word to Moses there. Because you know what? There's a whole sea of trouble going on around us right now. But we have the weapon, the power of God through the Holy Spirit, coupled with God's truth, his word, to actually fight back with. That's what we should do. Hold that rod over the sea and divide it. So we can go over as well on dry ground into the kingdom. That's really what it is. That's the analogy. It's really what it is. Think about the situation Israel was in. Every direction in which to flee was impossibly blocked. But you know what turned out? God used his power and divided the sea. And the most improbable, the most improbable thing took place. And there it was. There's no details given to the Israelites by God before they took off this journey into the promised land. He didn't say, well, you're going to take this and that and this route over this mountain and through this valley. Didn't happen that way. If it wasn't the pillar of fire directing, it was a pillar of cloud directing. and they stayed somewhere for a while, and they moved on. There was no idea, no maps. God just led them based on what their reaction was to the leading. And believe me, it wasn't good most of the time. What is this personal journey we are on all about? Well, it's about these days that we've been experiencing for the last 7 days. Our struggle in this life is to stay on leaven. That was the lesson as we prepared for these days. What did we do? We removed all the leaven from our homes. As we did that process, as we got involved in that process, we thought about the spiritual implications, and we started to deeply examine ourselves. That's really what it was. It was a spiritual examination. It was a spiritual idea, not so much a physical. God was wanting us to use the physical to direct and point us to the spiritual application of this exercise, of this unleavened process he was calling us to. God rescued the children of Israel from their physical bondage in Egypt with the big desire to give them a brand new beginning. And we've got the same thing. But unfortunately, only two of them made it over that were over that was 20 years old and above. They didn't have the faith. They didn't have what it took. And that's the position that we don't want to be in. It's all written down in the book of instruction for us to take in and learn from. This book right here, they didn't have it. They did not have it where we have. Let's come to the New Testament now and see what Christ says to us. Let's turn to Matthew, the 19th chapter. There is really nothing new taking place. And I think Larry brought that up under the sun. The same is taking place with us today. God's called out once, Matthew 19. I'm going to read 25 and 6. Remember, whenever God blesses you and fights a battle for you, be thankful about it with humility. Remember that there's absolutely nothing impossible for God. Matthew 19, verse 25 and 6. And earlier on in this chapter, Jesus was explaining about the marriage covenant. And then, and what that should be. And then it went on a little bit further on in the same chapter about the difficulty for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then the apostles, after they heard this in verse 25, the disciples were greatly astonished and said, "Who then is able to be saved?" It almost seemed like an impossibility to be saved. There's a question there. Who is then able to be saved? Verse 26, but Jesus looked and said with them, "With men, this is impossible." If I'm following after a wretch, it's going to be impossible. But it says there, but with God, all things are possible. So we have to be in covenant, right? We have to be with the eternal. Think about this as we look at our lives. Look at the things we've been doing. Look at our shortcomings. Look at our sins. Look at the leaven always creeping back in over the course of the year. It creeps back in. It does for me. If it doesn't for you, if I had my Tilly hat, I'd take it off to you right now. But it creeps back in mostly. It's easy to see that human nature constantly prevails. And during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you and I have been working at getting the sin out. It starts by what? Asking God to reveal them to you. God, what am I doing wrong? Show me. I don't exactly see it. I'm kind of blind. I'm blind in one eye and can't see out of the other. That's why these holy days repeat year after year after year. And we need to always be hearing the proper and right messages in season. It's part of it. To help us, to strengthen us, to make it possible for each and every one of us to what? To overcome and be successful. And he's going to help us. We just read it. With men, this is impossible. But with God, if we're with God,
all things are possible. This is why we always hear, stay close to God. How many times have the preachers told you, or admonished you rather, stay close to God, brethren? Well, how do we do this? Because we need to do this all the time. Prayer, study, we know, meditating, occasional fasting. We think of Isaiah 28 with this. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Well, ask yourself this question. Over the past 7 days, during these days of the feast here in unleavened bread, how close, I got all five going back at me, how close was I to God? How close were you to God? It's a fair question to ask ourselves. Right from the very beginning of the year, as God counts time, we took account of ourselves through the process of this self-examination. And we carefully prepared to renew the covenant with God by taking the Passover. If we take that Passover every year, what's it, for no reason? No, it's a renewal. Otherwise, we wouldn't bother with it. Now, the observing of the night to be much remembered took us into the days of unleavened bread. And this new beginning took place for every one of us. Every year we go through these things. It's amazing. Pretty simple, but yet amazing, because most people do not see it like you guys do. In the past, I gave a message with the idea of a dress rehearsal for the coming kingdom, which is taking place constantly in our lives. We're in a dress rehearsal. We got to do it now. We have to do this now, not tomorrow. Can't do it from the grave. We should be getting better at it, year after year, getting better at it. This is why we need the truth of God, the love of God, the Spirit of God, the conviction of God, to believe what God has said and to know that He is 100% for us, and that there is nothing other than me, myself, that is going to hold me back from entering in and receiving eternal life. Greg is not going to hold me back. I'm going to hold myself back if anybody holds anybody back. It's on my shoulders, constantly. It's on our shoulders, individually. Brethren, we fully realize that our lives in Christ are all faith-based. This gets us thinking probably about Hebrews 11. Let's turn there. Hebrews 11. From Abraham and from Isaac unto Jacob, then on down to Christ, did it all happen as God prophesied, as it said it would? You bet. It sure did. Every one of these things were by what? Faith. That's the chapter we're turning to. We have a whole chapter here in the New Testament about faith. If Hebrews wasn't written, we'd be in the dark. It's an amazing book. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and convictions of things not seen. We're to have the faith of Christ. That's a spiritual gift. We're to have the love of God. That's a spiritual gift. If you already have it, then you don't need to hope for it any longer. You have it, right? That is conviction of things not seen. That's what that is. Conviction of the truth. Conviction of the righteousness of God. Conviction of faith that what God has said He's going to do. Conviction is really something that we need more of. Look at verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Now without faith, it is impossible to please God. For it is mandatory for the one who comes to God to believe. What? In other words, have conviction, right? That He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who halfway seek Him. No, diligently seek Him.
We got to be all in. It can't be by what we think alone. It must be by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. We need to be convicted and of His promises. Everything that He said in the Word, the Bible. We have to be convicted of all that. It is impossible for us to believe God unless what? We have faith. And by our faith, we know He exists. We know He is there. We know He's called us. We know that Christ came. We know that He was raised from the dead. We know now that He's at the right hand of the Father. We know right now He's our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, soon to return, and our High Priest. And we know that He's there to intercede for us. And as we are already here, look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. And He is a rewarder of those, I'm repeating this now, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Full out, brethren, not half-heartedly. Remember where we're living right now. We're living in this Laodicean age where it's easy for people to get satisfied with things taking place around them. And they do things undoubtedly to cause them to stay Laodicean, even to possibly slip away. Big mistake. I've seen it. We've seen it. That's why Jesus says to the Laodiceans, right there in Revelation 3:19, I'll quote it, and as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. This is why the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is what it's really all about. It's about putting the leaven out and staying unleavened. It's becoming to the pinnacle of perfection. We have to strive for that perfection. Not that we're going to be. I'm not trying to be like Reg. Reg's not trying to be like me. We're trying to be like the two of the Godhead. Perfect. Christ even says, "Oh, be like my Father in heaven. He's perfect." Matthew 5:48. Look at Hebrews, the 12th chapter now. You're in Hebrews 11. Look at Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Let's turn there. Every year we go through the annual holy days so we can learn that it's not going to be about you. It's not going to be about me. It's not going to be about us. It's going to be of God, right? Never forget. It's His plan, so it has to be fully done His way. Everything He has said, remember, He's going to do it. You don't have to do it. He's going to do it. We're not to be like the children of Israel when they came to the Red Sea. We're not to be like that. It was like, oh, they became instant carnal right there. Satan got into their headspace right there and then. And they quickly forgot what was going on. They forgot about the pillar of cloud. They forgot about the pillar of fire. They forgot about everything. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded, and we are, brethren, by such a great throng of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entraps us, and let us run the race set before us with endurance. Everything, end of quote, everything that burdens you down, don't let it burden you down. Go to God, pray about it, overcome it, and get it out of your life. Give it to God, especially today in this society with so many things of Satan, the devil out there. He's everywhere in the air. He's the prince of the power of the air. But we're running the race. Not stopping, not giving up, not getting discouraged. And sometimes it's hard to do, but it can be done. Taking this book, let's be encouraged, because the whole book, where we can see what works and how it works, They didn't have it back then. We've got the whole playbook. We can see what doesn't work. We can see what doesn't work. We can see what does work. We can see what does work. Should have said that three times. Because that's really what it is. We got to get this into our noggins. Put off what doesn't work. Put on what does work. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Having our minds fixed. Where? On the perfection. Yes, on Jesus. The beginner and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that lay ahead of him endured the cross. You and I have never done that. Probably never have to. Although he despised the shame and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. End of quote. He began it for us by calling us. He will finish it by helping us to overcome, change, and be perfected at the very end. He endured the end to the end, brethren. Now it's our turn to do that as long as we continue to do just our part. Verse 3, Hebrews 12. Now meditate deeply on him. Meditate deeply on Christ, who endured such a hostility of sinners against himself, so that you do not become weary and faint in your minds. End of quote. No, don't do that. That's why this Feast of Unleavened Bread is part of God's plan, rather. We go over it every year to do what? A spiritual cleanup. A spiritual cleanup. It's needed. Look at verse 4. Insert your name here. You, Stefan, have not resisted to the point of losing blood in your struggle against sin. Isn't that true? Yes. Think about everything that happens in our lives. We need to learn the lessons as we go through them. We need to learn about love and about obedience. Come to understand that God is working in our lives and come to the realization that we cannot, brethren, save ourselves or work out our salvation ourselves apart from God and his truth. If we have some sort of trouble taking place, let's not say, oh, I'll pray about that when I get it solved. No, it won't get solved until we first take it to God and pray about it. Then for sure, we will have done our part in the prayer. We'll see what God does about it. God answers a lot of prayers. Probably not right away sometimes. That's just how it works. Let's consider another pertinent verse in the book of Romans. Let's go to Romans 8 this time. We go there a lot. It's a well-used portion of the Bible. Romans 8. Pick it up in verse 28. Regardless of what the difficulties all are, this we need to know. This gives us hope and assurance, having our minds fixed on Christ. Romans 8:28, and I quote, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose," which we have been, brethren. We have been called according to his purpose. In verse 29, because those whom he did not foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his own Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. End of quote. Brethren, this is an exciting thing for us to consider. When we consider the resurrection and what kind of a time that's going to be, I got an exclamation mark after that. That's going to be pretty amazing. Brethren, we want to keep walking the way that God wants. Keep trusting in the Godhead in the way that they're revealing it to us through their Spirit, believing the promises and not doubting, staying in the race until we finish and cross that finish line. Here is the guarantee. Verse 30, Romans 8, verse 30. Now, whom he predestinated, these he also called. To whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, look what it says, These he also glorified. Wow. The glory we have now was just the receiving of this down payment of the Holy Spirit. And that's the Spirit of promise, isn't it? This down payment we now have will lead us to the full spiritual promise that comes with the resurrection. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, which he always is, who can be against us? Well, if we are with God, the Father in Christ, the answer would be nothing can be against us. Let's finish up here for today in Romans 8 again, 32 to 39. And I'll quote, he who did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also grant us things together with him? Who shall bring an accusation against the elect of God? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one that condemns? It is Christ who died, but rather who is raised again, who is even now at the right hand of God, and who is also making intercession for us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Accordingly, it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are reckoned as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death or life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about all this. You and I have. Everybody, every one of us has answered the call, and we have this belief, we have this hope, we have this conviction. Yes, we may have to face different situations in our lives as we continue forward in our personal wilderness journey, because that is what we are on. That's not going to go away until we breathe our last breath of life. All this week, we have been constantly reminded through these 7 days of unleavened bread that we have Christ Jesus with us. He is the Master Shepherd, and we have been called to be separate and to stand with him. We move from the seventh day of unleavened bread, counting off the days, today being number 7 on the count, until the next appointed time, the Feast of Pentecost. So the countdown to the next holy time of Pentecost is now underway. When the future fulfillment of that day takes place, what an exciting time that's going to be. Which is a message, of course, for another day. So I hope I've helped you a little bit more on this understanding of the last day of unleavened bread. Let's continue. I'll pass it now back to Reg. Brethren, please enjoy the rest of the seventh day of unleavened bread.